We're on page.
Oh, I had it. I didn't give you the thing. Okay, we're on the Rambam Hilchos Malva Veloiva Perek Yudal Halacha Dal Chapter 14 Law 4. We're talking about how you can collect from a borrower if you're bringing a shtar chov. If you have a document that says the fellow owes you, and there's difference if the document is verified, not verified, different things that we say we do over here. So we continue with these laws. Hamotzi shtar chov al chavero. The person whips out a shtar chov that shows that the guy owes him the money. Malva Omer, and the lender says, Lo nifrati klum, you paid me nothing. It's a very interesting case, so pay attention, it's tricky here. You paid me nothing, you owe me the money, here's the shtar chov, you gotta pay me. The lova Omer, the lova says, Parati mechza, I paid half. Okay, so fine. Then after he said,
he admits he owes half.
Yes. Now, what did we already say before? That will not be of any help to him, because at this stage of the game, what would he? What would happen? Without going any further,
Modim b'mitzas. He's submitting part of it.
Really?
Yeah.
He says,
but what if what if he denied it totally?
Okay, then that's different.
What would happen? One second. What would happen?
That's a shavuos hesis.
If he did not, Shavuos Hesis, the guy with a shtar, the malva can make an oath and take the whole thing, can he?
So he's got a shtar. So he has to do a biblical oath.
Hold on there. Wait a minute. Without going any further.
Right?
We're not going any further. The guy says, you know, you haven't paid me anything. The guy says, I paid you half. What would be the law? If we stopped it right here, what would be the law?
He has to pay him the other half.
What's the law? Say the law. What would we do? You're the judge. What would you direct happen?
We said modim b'mitzas. He admits he's paid half.
Which it means he admits he owes half.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
And what does he end up paying?
All of it. The total amount. He paid,
He
has to swear on the half he paid and then...
What if he denied everything? What would be the law?
He denies it, then he has to...
Well, Mama's got a star.
So,
and he said, you didn't pay me.
So he's got how could he get the stars?
The guy would have said, I owed you nothing. What would be the halacha?
Well, they can bring the...
The malva just says, yes. He makes an oath, you didn't pay me, and he collects the whole thing, correct?
Right, because he's got a star with 80.
He's got a star, right? Okay, so now the guy says, well, no, you know what, instead of denying it all, I admit I owe you half. You can tell me he does better on the deal now?
No, he'd have to pay.
You can tell him he does better on the deal, that he only pays half?
Well,
does that make any sense?
No, it doesn't.
Because he admits, if he denied it, he has to pay the whole thing. If he admits, he only pays half? How is that any better? If we'd be a motive and mix, so they say, thank you very much, goodbye, and the malva will make an oath and take the whole thing.
But he doesn't have the chutzpah to say he denied the whole thing.
So who cares what his chutzpah is?
So if he thinks he's going to get off,
you got a malva, you got a star. That's why am I doing the thing if you paid half? Then where's the receipt for the half? We're not talking about a milval pay here. So he really would collect the whole thing. But anyway, the guy says half. So let's continue. The guy admits he owes half. Yeah, he admits he owes half. Well, nothing. We haven't done anything yet, you know, because there's one more step to the story to make the story more interesting. So as we're about to deal with it, then what happened? Then come along some Edim walk in. But Edim to Edim, and now Edim come after the guy already said, I admit I owe him half, and the Edim say, sure, pro cool. The Edim say he paid the whole debt off.
That's good. I like that.
You got that, guys?
Got it.
The Edim say he pays the... Now, don't look further. It's interesting, good mind games here. To stretch our minds a little bit, right?
Right.
All right? So now, the witnesses say he doesn't owe nothing.
Right.
Okay. Now, what would you say the law should be? And why?
This is good, but the guy himself...
And why? What should be the law? Let's look this way.
You can say the star is paid.
If the guy didn't say anything... If the lova didn't say anything,
and just the witnesses,
witnesses came and said paid,
he's off.
What would be the law?
He's off the hook.
That's true.
He's off the hook.
Witnesses said
clearly,
we saw he paid.
Clear
the
law. He's off the hook.
But what's the problem?
He admitted he only paid half.
And what do we know about when a litigant admits on himself? What's the rule?
It's worth 100 witnesses.
It's worth 100 witnesses.
Or more.
So it's like 100 witnesses says he owes half. So they outweigh the two witnesses. So the halacha is, he has to nishba halova, the guy now, has to swear that he owes the half, and he denied, he paid half and owes the half. Vinot se mechza, he gives the half now.
That's what we said at the beginning.
Yeah, no. But being, it was no value to us because he had a shtar that was
set
of the shtar. If there were no witnesses, wouldn't it be the same?
No, because the guy, that doesn't, we're making it better than the guy.
No, but when the witnesses show up, we kick the witnesses out because
we're not kicking anybody out yet. Let's just hang on. We're not finished with the story now.
Okay,
but the fact that the witnesses are telling us what's going on over here, that's important. Now, too bad you think you're better than the witnesses. Okay, but at least now you clearly admit you owe the half. Now, the lender is pretty happy to get half. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
because the witnesses would have got him off, got to get nothing.
Yeah.
But now you said, now we'll believe that you paid half because it's better than getting nothing.
Motive mixes.
Right. Now it only helps because I have witnesses who said that the thing was paid off.
Sure.
So now, Sharei Hodavavitz says he admits. Okay.
Partial.
Now, but wait a minute. Mama says, well, wait a minute. You know, there is another concept. Maybe the guy should be off the hook completely. Maybe. But the Rama says, no. What's the law? What's the law if a guy finds a lost object? Wait a minute. And the guy finds a wallet.
Okay.
That's got $1,000 in it. He returns, he makes an announcement, who lost money? The guy says, I lost money, blah, 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 blah. The wallet is back. Says, here it is. Here's the money. The guy looks in, $1,000? What are you talking about? There was $2,000 in here. You took $1,000 from me. What's the law? What's the law in that case?
Arise, it's upon him to take.
It's
upon him to bring the proof that there was $2,000 in the wallet.
It doesn't even matter if there was $2,000 in the wallet. Doesn't mean anything. I'm going to be on the hook for anything else, no one's going to return anything ever.
You're totally off the
hook. Why should I ever return anything to anybody? Because the guy could always say it was more, and now I'm going to have to get involved in making an oath. Forget it, I'm never going to pick up anything. Right. So there's a concept that when you are a meshiv aveda, when you return a lost object, even though the owner claims there's more, you do not have to make an oath at all because of tikkun olam. Okay? Because otherwise, the guy could have been quiet. He could have said nothing. He could have not given it back. Do you understand? The guy could have just held on to it. The guy's going out of his way to return, mind you. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible that maybe he kept $5,000, but if he's already a crook, he would have kept the whole thing, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So now you're going to make a good Samaritan go and lose the money. So we call that Meshiv Aveda. And therefore, in such a case, the guy doesn't even have to make an oath. So now you might want to think that once there's witnesses who say the guy doesn't owe anything.
It's like a lost
The guy's almost like a Meshiv Aveda, so he shouldn't have to swear and just take the $50 and be happy you got the $50. Rama says, no, that's not the same. You hear why you might ask that question, right? Because once those witnesses says it's been paid, it's like you lost that money.
Right.
Now I'm coming back and I'm giving you 50. I'm no different than a guy who found a wallet and I'm giving you half of what you wanted. Right? So, but it's not the same. Why is it not the same? Because when the guy was being accused, there were no witnesses yet and there was a shtar that said you haven't paid anything yet. So mipnei she'emes ashtar alav, because the fear of the shtar is upon him when he made that admittance before the edims came along. Right? And of course, he would like to be able to, because he doesn't know what they're going to do, and therefore he figured out, I might as well admit half, try to get off the hook. Okay? So that's that. But there's one more little point we're not finished with over here. So now what has he got to pay?
Half.
He's got to pay half. Yeah? Okay. The guy's got no money to pay. So what would we normally do if the guy doesn't have money to pay the debt? What do you normally do?
Seize the assets.
You seize the assets, right?
Right.
So now we're going to want to turn around and you got to pay 50. You admitted to the 50. So I want to seize the assets, take whatever he sold last and take $50. You think he could take it, eh?
No.
Why not, eh? Well, wait a minute. The guy with the assets, wait a minute. There's two witnesses that says the guy paid him back fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why should I lose? I don't agree with that guy's testimony. I go with the witness's testimony. Yeah. Remember, when the person himself testifies on himself, for himself it's like 100 people testified, but not for the guy who bought from him.
Right.
The guy who bought from him says, I don't believe him. I believe the two witnesses.
Is this a third party now?
Well, the person who bought the field from the lender.
Okay.
Remember, if the lender cannot pay, how do we collect? We go to whatever assets he sold.
Right, okay.
So we go to the guy and we say, well, so you're going to pay the 50. Why are you going to pay the 50? Well, because the guy admits he owes the 50. Wait a minute. This two witness says he owes nothing. So now who do I have to listen to? Just because the borrower, in terms of what he has to pay, he admits he owes 50. If you admit you owe 50, you got to pay, right? But the buyer who bought from the lender, he says, why should I pay the 50? Because he admitted, the witnesses says he paid back completely. So therefore he doesn't have to pay anything. The malva, the borrower, can only collect from money that's free money. In other words, not money that was property that was
encumbered,
sold. The buyers will say, we rely on the witnesses. They've already nullified the shtar, so we're going to go with that. So a very interesting scenario where sometimes the guy figured, I might as well admit, because, I have a better chance if I admit, because he's afraid of the shtar of totally lying. But then the witnesses came along and sunk the ship.
So two quick questions. Does that debt still remain so that when the guy does have money, he has to pay up that half that he owes?
They already took land.
For sure.
He has to pay the 50. He can't seize the assets now, but when the borrower comes into money... Then what happens
when you never pay back a loan?
So he's not off the
hook. What's it different than any case if a guy owes $50 and he hasn't paid the loan?
So he's not off the hook.
He's got to pay the 50.
Okay, and the other question is, we started this before the witnesses, and I think the rabbi kept saying, no, that's not the case. What would happen if no witnesses came and he admitted to half? What do we decide?
It's no different than if he denied the whole thing.
To me, it would seem he should have
to pay the full amount.
I would think so. Unless maybe from around, maybe it's much, maybe only pay. Why is he being motive of mixes? He figures he's only going
to
pay 50? Because
he's admitting to
something.
He's afraid, right? All right, we'll have to look further.
Maybe he really believes it.
What?
Maybe he really believes that he paid half and he owes half.
He thinks he only. So what? And witnesses said he paid the whole thing?
No witnesses.
Okay, he believes. Why should he gain by that? By saying that, when if he denies it all, he has to pay the whole thing.
Right. So that's why
the guy's
we say
got a shtar. Why do I have the shtar?
Where's your receipt?
If you paid half,
where's your receipt?
So whatever.
If we had a verbal loan and I say you owe me even nothing, I say Paul, you owe me $100.
Right.
You have any proof? I have no proof. Paul says, you know what? I admit I owe you 50, but now. It's a motive mixes, you pay 50.
But
here there's a star on you. So even if you paid half, would you pay half, Paul, without getting some kind of receipt?
No.
Okay, so what's it worth? Yeah. What's it worth what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't, actually. No.
Okay.
If you imagine an account, I'd want a receipt.
Okay, hey. Hello, hey. Okay, now, this is a little bit different case now. Let's say the Malva comes along, Hotzil of Shtar Chov, She'eni Yochel Akaimo. He brings a star. But he cannot substantiate the signatures of the witnesses. Okay? In other words, it's a shtar, and I say, well, can you bring the witnesses? No, I can't, and we don't have a file. We're not assuming he's a liar, but we just have not been Makayim the shtar. Okay, it doesn't have the same force as a regular shtar now.
So it's not a validated shtar.
But Amru Halo, and now the Lova comes along, the borrower says a very interesting, so the guy says, you owe me $100. Here's a shtar. Can you validate? No, I can't validate it. Comes along the Lova and says, I admit I wrote the shtar. That's very helpful now. Now that you admit you wrote the shtar, thank you very much. But, avol parati, but I paid it back.
So there's an amigo?
Oh, amanahu. Or it was one of those shtars I wrote as a trust. I was hoping I could borrow from the guy, but he never gave me the money.
Never got around to it.
Oh, kasafti lovos, I wrote it to borrow, but I never came around to borrowing. So he admits he wrote it. Now, without that admission, then the guy would have a lot of trouble collecting with that shtar. But he says, I admit I wrote it, but on the other hand, I'm also admitting that I don't owe it, either for whatever reason. It's interesting. He's saying either I paid it back or it never got the money. So now, would you say is the case here? If he wanted to have said, what could he have said? It never happened.
I never saw this.
And now the only reason the shtar is validated is from his mouth. The entire validation of shtar is coming from the lova. So now Harez and Emon, he is believed to say what he says. His words are true, but there's still a little problem. And what's the problem? Yeah, you said it's true, so why didn't you have a receipt? Right? Because there's still,
it never happened.
Still a shtar there, but there's still a shtar there. How did he end up with the shtar?
But it wasn't part of the story that he wrote it.
Okay.
So now we can't totally
believe you until Vayishavar Heses. You have to make a Shavuos Heses, make a rabbinic oath, via potter. So you are, he is in the driver's seat to get out of paying. But we just can't accept your word.
Situation.
We can't accept your word. We accept enough that will put you in the better position. But now you still got to make the rabbinic oath and then you're off the hook. But let's go a little bit further now. So now the guy says, yeah, that's right. You know, he couldn't find a shtar. Wait him to validate. He says, yeah, I wrote it, but you know, I don't have to pay. But then after he said that whole song and dance, guess what? They bring witnesses to validate the shtar.
Oh boy.
Once the guy brings witnesses afterwards to validate it.
Now it's like
so now whatever you told us, thank you very much. We don't need anything you said. We don't need anything you said because I got a valid star now.
Yeah.
I don't care. So now it's like this. We have a valid star. And what's the guy saying? Yeah, but I admit I paid it back.
No.
Well, show us your receipt.
So you haven't really done much for us because, yeah, you said it was a good star.
We don't need you.
But we don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
So now it's like, what do we normally do when you have a good star and the guy make those kinds of claim? Harei kishar shtaros, and the guy is able to collect with it. With that star, but he'd have to make, if the guy would insist, he'd have to make an oath that I didn't collect. I didn't get any money. Remember, you can't collect. The guy would say, you have a star, but I think I paid, so I want you to swear that I never paid you. He'd have to at least swear that. It's an innocent machlokas in the Gemara, but we pass like the sheet that says, that we don't need him and he has to pay.
But this guy's kind of in trouble now because he made up all this.
Well, it could be
his
true,
but
it's no different than a case. Is it any different than if you have witnesses who signed it and all that? Yeah. The guy could have made any of those three claims anyway. He could have said, I paid it back.
Paid it back, yeah. But
and
he
could.
Say, I never took the money or I never...
Well, shtar amona, he could have got witnesses to sign a shtar amona.
Yeah.
But never got around to it. Couldn't even have witnesses that I was going to borrow it. But anyway, you're right, we don't need him. And that hits her, he's out. Okay, let's take another.
Things are fallible too. You know, you do something 20 years ago, and you're pretty sure you know that you paid him back. And 20 years later, the guy brings up the payment.
Yeah, that's true. There is a long time we can have. We always think it just happened 2 days ago.
Right. This could be 5 years, 10 years.
What if somebody came to you, Paul? You know what? 20 years ago, you know, they got this star on you.
And where's your? Where are you going to find the receipt?
And you had a receipt. How far back do you hold your tax returns, Paul?
7 years.
I think the law is they go back 10 years.
Seven years.
I still have from 1984.
As long as you're not being audited,
Better with age.
As long as you're not being audited,
I'm afraid
7 years.
One day the Revenue Canada's going to want to pay my, what do you call it? My CPP, whatever. What do you call it?
Yeah. Pension plan.
They'll say you never paid. And I can't count on the government to know from back in 84 that I did pay, right?
You can get a statement. You can get a statement.
Yeah,
you can check online.
Yeah.
You can check online or you can get them to mail you a statement of benefits.
That
you can see.
Okay. And then you can throw all those.
Anyway, Vav, let's continue.
Tax advice.
These very interesting cases. Vav. Okay, Hotzia Lov. The Malva comes along and brings a shtar makuyim, a validated shtar. Good as gold. Vermalova. Now the borrower says, well, you know what? Mizuyafu, it's a total forgery.
We had this before.
Umiolam lo kasafti, I never wrote it. O shtar amona, again, it's a shtar amona. I wrote it, but I never borrowed it. Okay, so now it's a definite guy's saying, listen, it's not, well, mizuyaf means it was really forged. That's saying, you know, I don't care what you're talking about. You know, there are witnesses, but it never happened. You know, what if I take two witnesses and write that Paul owes me $100? Paul borrowed $100 from me. And they got, and these are the witnesses' statements.
These are false witnesses.
Well, no, we didn't get it. McQueen means we know their names are. Yeah. Well, anyway. So anyway, the Loba comes along and says it was a forgery, or I never wrote it. or it's a shtar amona, or it was I was going to do it, but it never happened. Okay, now we got one against the other. Which now, normally, what would happen now?
He's got a validated shtar. He collects.
Throw the lova out.
Yeah, goodbye.
The malva says, "I'm taking the money." Malva would have to make an oath to collect, but he's like, "But wait, we're not done." Remember, malva. Now the malva says, "Okay, I'll tell you the truth." The malva finally says, "You know, Kenat Verm, the truth is, you're right. This is a forged document."
You're right.
It was a shtar amana.
I had a good one, but I lost it.
You're right. Right. I did have a kosher one on you before, but I lost it. And therefore I forged it to collect what I should collect. In other words, what he's saying is, I had a real good star with it. Now the guy was smart, the lender, the borrower, he says, this doesn't look from, now the lender may know that he took a borrow from the guy.
Right.
But when he's looking at his star, he says, I don't ever saw this star.
It sounds like a traffic ticket.
This star doesn't look right. This star doesn't look like it's the right star. Now he knows he owes him. Let's say he knows the other, but this one I never was agreeable to. So now it's interesting. So the truth of the matter is, without the malva adding this last piece of information, the malva could have collected on it.
Now
that the malva says, you know, it's right. It really was a forgery.
It's a forgery. This is a forgery.
Aval pisha malva hu sheshover eshtaro. Even though the malva broke his star by the new information he said. Vimrotz armor, if he wanted to, what was his migu? If he wanted
to say, quiet.
Eina mazu, if he could have said it's not forged, shereini skaima basin was already validated in Bezdin. Still, listen to this, guys. Eina goiva bo klum. You can't collect anything, not from anything. Elanishba halova shvuas hesis, the lova still has to make an oath that he didn't pay, he didn't owe. The niftri's off the hook, right? Why? Shereze hashtar, this star, once the malva said it's not a good star, kecher suchashv, it's like a piece of pottery.
Whoa.
But wait a minute. But what happened to the migu? It was a migu.
Yeah,
if I wanted to lie, just gonna have my mouth shut. Well, there's a golden rule, guys. Migu helps to avoid that you have to collect, to have to pay. But to have a migu, you to collect from somebody, the rule is migu lahotzi lo amrinon. We never use a migu to let you take. We let you say a migu that you wouldn't have to pay.
Hey.
If the guy says, you know, you owe me, and the guy could just say, I don't owe you. Right? But if he would turn around and say, yeah, I agree, I owe you, but, you know, this and that, well, okay, then the migu is, I don't have to pay. But here, when you want a migu to collect, because you want to take away from somebody, a migu doesn't help. We have to take
the borrower had a forged receipt, because I forgot that I lost the authentic receipt that I forged.
That might work.
Yeah.
Because if he keeps his mouth shut, if he has a receipt,
even if he admits it's forged,
it would have to be witnesses. It would have to be a receipt with witnesses,
yeah.
Right? And if he had that and he would have shut his mouth up, he wouldn't have to pay.
Yeah.
Now that he'll turn around and say, you know what, I did pay, and there was a receipt, but I lost it, and there's a forged receipt.
That's amigo.
Then that's amigo that would be okay because he wants to hold on and not have to pay. That amigo would help.
Very good, right.
Not to collect.
Okay. Zion and Ches, they go together. It's fast. It goes fast.
This is learning. What are you doing? He's groaning.
Now, can you use a shtar twice? And let's say the following.
Twice.
Let's say I lend to Eliezer $100 because shtar, everything he owes.
Not off the hook.
He owes me $100. And, you know, Eliezer didn't think he had the money. He wasn't. And guess what? All of a sudden, 5 minutes later, he just got $100.
Wow.
So what does he do? He pays me back right away.
What a nice guy.
But as soon as he paid back, right, his wife called him and just told him that the sink broke.
No.
And then he says, oh no, I gotta borrow another $100. And then he says, you know what? Why bother writing another shtar?
Uh-oh.
Just, let's use the same shtar. And both agreeable to it. Like, why, you know, you had to get a sofa and everything. It's not so small, you know.
It's the same date.
It's the same date even.
Yeah, the same date.
Same party, same date.
So it's like, he wrote the shtar for me. I have the shtar, right? Then, right away, he got $100. So I gave him the star right back, right? And then all of a sudden, the wife says, I don't know, says, here, take the star back. Can you use the exact same star, even with the same date for this? Now, what'll happen if, let's say, for whatever reason, Eliezer can't pay now after 30 days? Now, the question is, can I go to the property he sold and go collect from him?
Was that property tied to that original money?
Now, here's the point. The lien, when we wrote the shtar, when we wrote the shtar, at the point of writing the shtar, there was already a lien on the property, right? But once I paid him, once he paid me back, the lien was broken.
It's broken.
And since the lien was broken, you can't just use the same shtar because it wasn't written anymore. You can't make a new lien because you didn't do anything new.
No.
So that's what the Rambam says in Zion. Shtar shalov abo uparo. A shtar that we used to borrow and he paid back. Ain't a chosel. You can't re-borrow with that same shtar. Shikvar nimchol shibudo. The shibud, the lien was already broken when he paid back. Venasikris. It automatically is like a piece of pottery. And it's done for, there's no shibud. In other words, the writing and the giving creates the shibud. Once you pay back the shibud, the lien is broken. You can't just make the shibud appear back by just keeping that piece of paper. You'd have to rip up that paper just as soon as you get paid back, rip it up, you gotta write a new one. And therefore, and for this reason, halakha ches falls right into this.
You can't like initial it or do something to the document?
Mm-hmm. Now, and therefore, for this reason, halakha ches, hamosi shtar chov mekui machavero, the guy has a shtar chov, a debt, of credit, no, it's validated and everything. The borrower says, Hare paraticha. The guy says, I paid it back. The malva says, yeah, I agree. Kenoi, yeah, you did pay it back. But you went and reborrowed and we used it again for a second time.
Now we know it's like charis.
Right? So what's so I lent you a second time. So everyone says, right, you did it. We agree. There's no argument. We believe everybody here. But even so, if that's the case,
it's
a disqualified document. Can't use it. That thing is no good. And it's like a piece of pottery. Because by all admissions, you're telling it was an invalid thing to do, so it couldn't be done. But if he would have said, of Omer Lo, he said, you know, Hechsarti Lucha Amos, Mipnei Shalom Hayutovas Ashitachlivim. Yes, you did give me money. But I gave the money right back to you because it wasn't the kind of money that I could exchange. Because it wasn't the kind of, what do you call, currency I wanted to get. Yeah. You gave me, a hundred loonies. And I wanted a dollar bill. So I agree he gave me the money, but I just gave him right back the very same money because I didn't want it. That means the debt was never paid. So therefore, lo batel shtar, the shtar is not viewed as a second shtar. Vadayin shibud hakayim, and the lien still there, and it is a proper get, and we would then believe those statements.